Sit down and settle in. This is the Rebel Room, Las Vegas Sun Sports Talk. Taylor Byrne alongside Ray Brewer. It was an exciting, thrilling, raucous crowd. Thomas and Mack Center. UNLV pulls out a 65-63 victory against San Diego State. Finally getting the better of the Aztecs in all of these close games. It had been 6 in a row, 9 out of 10 for the Rebels, but they don't have to answer those questions anymore. Nearly give it away with a 13-point lead in the second half. San Diego State took the lead late, but then Anthony Marshall put UNLV back ahead, and then Justin Hawkins' steal seals the victory. Ray, coming out of the game, what were your first impressions?
I mean, first impressions, one is the environment. Walking from the parking lot to the arena, and there's people out there tailgating, playing the fight song, chanting Rebels, Rebels. Walking on the concourse before the game, 20 minutes before tip, and literally I could not get from, there's people waiting in line to get beverages. It's crowded. There's a line in the bathroom that curls around. I was here during the glory days. I went to all the games as a kid, and this definitely reminded me of that. So what a great environment. The game had sold out midweek, and you know what? The game, Taylor, it did not disappoint. Pretty good game.
And that's basically – we knew the environment, the crowd was going to be really good. And so with a game like that, with the hype all week, both of these teams didn't have a game this week, so it was just all build up to this. The question is always going to be, can the game live up to it? And for certain stretches, it didn't look like that was going to be the case. But then as soon as UNLV kind of picked up the pace, then, looked like big-time game. They might even run away with it. And that's actually kind of what I want to talk about mostly, because it really seemed to be this was, for the most part, UNLV's game to lose. And they nearly did. Like, they really could have run San Diego State out of the building. Do you credit the Aztecs for hanging in there and making a game of it down the stretch, or was it UNLV's game plan that kind of made this one close in the end?
Well, you got to first of all give San Diego State credit. They didn't quit, and they are a
would it be very political about it?
No. They are they are very confident playing UNLV. Obviously, they've beaten UNLV 9 out of the last 11. They always win the close games. They've had success at the Thomas and Mack Center. And you just saw with every bucket they made, you saw kind of the momentum switch over. And then what happened is UNLV, they're up 13 with, 8 or 9 minutes to play.
Something like that.
And they're going and they're having wasted trip after rushed trip after one-on-one trip. And next thing you know, the lead is cut from 13 to 11 to 8 to 5. And my fault with UNLV is they get the lead with – pressure defense, great, awesome, aggressive offense, up-paced, fast tempo, take advantage of the energy of the crowd. But that offense is not designed to hold the lead. It's designed to get back into a game. It's designed to grow a lead. It's not designed to sustain a lead. And we saw it at the Santa Barbara game. We've seen it when they played Reno at home. And when you get into March, when you get in the tournament, when you get up by double digits with 8 to play, you don't want to stop playing. There's got to be a healthy balance, but you got to be a little more selective in what you do offensively.
You're going way back. So you think the offense hasn't developed since
those
early
games? offense has a little bit of snag, in my opinion, where when you're trying to close a team out or turn the game into a possession game where you have more points, that they haven't figured out how to get that done yet. Yeah. Now, okay. In 11 of their 14 home games, they've won by 17 or more points. So they haven't had a lot of practice of needing to do that, so that could be part of it. But something's got to give where down the stretch you could close out. Now, I don't know if close out is find somebody who's willing to take a shot or – because another problem I had, and I told you, is that it seemed late that nobody wanted to shoot, or when somebody did, it was just an awful idea. Like, why are you shooting from there?
Yeah.
So, and it's easy to look at it. They were lucky to get the win. It's easy to break it down and look at the problems. But I would have told you coming into this, UNLV has got to find a way to transition from the let's run up-tempo to the, okay, let's work on closing a team out. I'm not talking Dean Smith four corners, but I'm talking maybe take 10 seconds off the shot clock and get the best possible shot.
Yeah, and the thing for me, they come out in the second half, and they're just feeding Bryce Masamba. They get the dribble drives and the pick and roll penetration, and he had 10 points right away in the second half. Like, that was huge for just kind of dictating the way the rest of the game was going to go. And then when he's on the bench, they're not trying to get into the paint anymore. They just turn into a jump shooting team. And like you said, an early in the shot clock jump shooting team. Like, that was the type of thing that was getting them into trouble on the road too. And so to see that with a double digit lead at home, I was very confused by that.
Sometimes it's easy to take that jump shot because, you know, UNLV, they get hot and they make a few of those.
Yeah, when you believe that they're all going in, I can see that. And, you know, Rice after the game said that he didn't have any problem with it. He thought that they were getting good looks. And, you know, that's what his offense is based on, is anytime your feet are set and you're open, take the shot. You know, that's what they want.
And that's great. That's, to me, that's like not punting in football, right? I mean, it's a good theory. And it works to a certain extent, but at the same time, common basketball logic, which everybody has, calls for you to bring it back out a little bit. Okay, you're in the NCAA tournament. You're up by 13 with 8 to play. Do you try to win by 23, or do you try to, you know? I mean, it's great. You know, sure, most likely a team will roll over for you. But if they don't roll over, like San Diego State, which, by the way, neutral court's probably a better team than UNLV.
I look at them both in other games, and I don't see it. UNLV is definitely the better team, but there is something about this Aztec team.
They match up well with UNLV.
And they're in their heads. They know how to beat UNLV. You know, like they should have lost by probably double digits today, or, you know, easily, but they had the lead with a minute to go.
Well, and that was the thing. Friday afternoon we talked, the line came out. Well, Friday morning, we're like, well, what do you think the line's going to be? And we thought...
I thought like 7.5 or 8.
Okay, and I thought probably like 5 or 6. And when you said 9.5, I'm like, 9.5 is way too much.
Yeah. But now, then even, you know, UNLV looked like that was the right line. It looked like that was about what the game was going to be. And then all of a sudden they had like a 6-minute stretch without a field goal.
Exactly. And
how many missed jump shots during that stretch?
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. You can't point fingers, but I think Oscar Belfield had a great game, you know.
Oh, yeah.
6 or 7 assists, 1 turnover, 15 points, hit his threes, had that awesome dunk where I didn't know he could dunk that like that.
I know. It was surprising.
Okay, then when Oscar had to leave the game, what happened? They went on a little bit of a run. San Diego State.
Yeah.
So I just think, and I know.
You could say that about Bryce, too.
Well,
when he left the game in the second
half.
And
Bryce was great, and I love the energy he plays with, and I love the fact that when he absolutely clotheslined that guy, like, totally inadvertent. As soon as the kid hit the ground, he was like, oh, wow.
He was
and
concerned.
They all went over there.
I didn't see a good replay of the actual foul. I was expecting it to be a flagrant.
Yeah, I think they gave him a flagrant one.
No
flagrant at all.
Nothing.
I mean, you could tell he was totally on accident. But what I didn't like about Bryce, and as everybody knows, if there's a Bryce Masamba homer in the media, it's definitely me. I've been on this guy the last ever since he put a Rebel uniform on. I found positive to say about him. UNLV's up by 1 with like a minute 30 to go. Masamba gets great position underneath and backed the guy down all the way to like underneath the basket, got the ball, and instead of shooting it, he was afraid and he threw it back out. Shoot the ball, big fella. You're right there.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember the exact positioning. I don't remember seeing that as whether it's a good shot or not. But is Bryce Masamba who you want taking those clutch shots?
If you're that close.
Yeah, and again,
mean, do you want him taking that or Anthony Marshall shooting a 3-pointer?
Again, it would help if I don't remember the
sequence, but I was like, nobody wants to shoot the ball at all. And then on the next play, stand back, or a minute or so later, stand back misses the front end of a free throw.
Yeah.
Free throw.
That was a little while ago. A little while later, stand back. Offense today, horrid. You know, just he can't seem to shoot against San Diego State. But how about him coming up with those two defensive plays in the final minute, swatting the ball away from Franklin, not once but twice. And, you know, really, it happened in one of the road games, too, where he really wasn't shooting, but he came up with the big steal. Just finding a way to contribute, I guess. You know, that's something that you need out of everybody, and especially when it's your leading scorer isn't really helping offensively, to be able to come through on the other end. You know, credit to him for, you know, keeping your head in the game and staying out there.
As I often mention, my dad is a huge UNLV fan. He's been going to games for 30 years. And he told me had an interesting suggestion. Okay, Stanback is either great or really bad, and lately he's been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, today, not really, really bad, just kind of bad.
Yeah, and two for eight, his first shot went off the side of the backboard.
Side of the backboard. And if you notice when he runs, he's got a little bit of a limp. That knee's giving him more problems than I think people let on.
Yeah.
He says, my dad, and I don't know if I disagree, how about starting Jay Hawk instead of Chase?
I don't disagree. Well, actually, yeah, I do.
You do.
I don't think you switch it up at this point, and I think the contributions you get as far as the energy, you know, 3 minutes into the game from Hawkins, like injecting him, I think he's great in that role this year.
Okay, and I think Stanback is a better scorer, and when he's on, and we've seen him be on, you definitely need it. I didn't say I agreed with it, but I see where he was coming from.
And I mean, Hawkins basically plays starters minutes anyway. So, you know, if it was a question of getting him more time, yes. You know, I agree. I've been on Hawkins since I got here. Like, he is a great, great player.
He's part of the Taylor Byrne fan club.
Indeed.
Yes, the president. I love what Kendall did today. Came in, buried the three.
Hit the three.
That's all, you know, that's all we need from you, big guy.
Did his job.
We'll keep you on the bench until we need you again for, like, a technical foul shot. We'll
yeah, there
in
you go.
And
no time off the clock.
And just a good win. Mike Mosier, 19 points leading the way for UNLV, 9 rebounds.
How about 6 steals from him? I did not remember him having that many.
Yeah, you just listen, the stat crew isn't that accurate. So they gave me a steal. I remember 1 year, Mark Dickel, he was a point guard when they went to the tournament, I think like in 2003, his senior year. He got like the first triple-double since, you know, the glory year, since like 90-91.
Yeah.
And I think some people had him down for like 7 rebounds, and they had him for like 11. Like at the end when he got close, it was like, you know, he's
just
on,
give it to him.
Hey, rebound for Dickel. But another point. Okay. Big win for UNLV, 22-4. Overall 6-2 in the league, tied with San Diego State for first place in the league. UNLV's got a real tough road ahead in league play at Colorado State, at New Mexico, two places San Diego State's already been.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough for them to close out. And for as good as this win is, quick turnaround, they got to go to Dallas and play TCU. No secret here, UNLV is awful on the road. TCU, not that good at all. But neither is Air Force and Boise, and they struggled with them. For this win to mean anything, they're going to have to figure out how to play in the red jerseys.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to be I think a great one to start with, as far as for all of the games that you could have on a quick turnaround for a team that struggles on the road. I think going to TCU is about the best that you could hope for.
Major airport in Dallas. Yeah, not going to be snowing.
Yeah, they're not, and they're just not good. You know, UNLV is far and away the better team. And so if this is going to be a team that's going to win the league, they're going to have to do better on the road. And like you said, to build on this, it's got to start Tuesday, because it gets a lot harder this weekend at New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. You got to remember, tomorrow's an off day. So that means they're going to have to get ready, travel, all in like a 36 to 40-hour time span. UNLV, big win tonight, Taylor. Lastly, we'll close off a little different. We'll ask each other what we took away. What'd you take away from today's game? As I still try to limit mine down. Oh, real fast. I hate to interrupt my thing. What did you think? Did you see that little big Mosier?
How could I not?
That how thing cool is that?
I love that. Like, I'm... In general, I think the head thing is played out.
Yeah.
Like, everybody does it. And so my exceptions for this are the Mike Tyson super punch out head, because that is just freaking awesome. And then the Mike Mosier giant body with movable arms, movable head is like one of the best things I've ever seen. It's amazing. And I actually saw Mosier retelling when he first saw it today. It was just kind of on the bench, just glanced over and just get you know, kind of those googly eyes.
Who's that? But I liked some of the other cutouts they had. Don King.
I like doing the, you know, the Vegas theme, keeping with that. Yeah. And like the
guy from the Food Network.
Yeah, that one was good.
I like that guy. Guy Fieri, maybe.
I love seeing the Rice as a player photo with the blood dripping down his face.
Yes,
I'm always
yes.
in
as
always
our
a
boss
fan of
does
that.
As well. Yeah, yes, for a photo of that.
Yeah, no Tiny today at the game. After we had a big story,
he was in D.C. And I know they announced, they talked about our story that we had.
Who did?
The pregame, the MC.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Taken away from the game. You go first. I kind of gave mine away with the crowd. But anyways, go ahead.
It's just really the fact that this is something that the Rebels can check off. They needed this mentally, you know, even with nearly giving it away, but they had to make plays at the end, and they finally did it against the Aztecs. I think in any close game now, this has been the biggest mental hurdle for them to clear the rest of the way, because for a lot of these guys, you know, they don't remember the last time that they beat him. For some of them, they've never beaten San Diego State. So to be the team that they wanted to be, they needed to get this win.
Well, here's my verdict on it. If they meet again in the league finals, which I think they would, I'm taking the Aztecs.
I agree.
For Taylor Byrne, I'm Ray Brewer.